man, it's just too light and fluffy and happy and not enough drama.
I'm perfectly okay taking a spoonful of marshmallow cream and just eating it. I like light and fluffy.
Welcome to New Game Plus. This is a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Coffee Nolan.
And you are listening to and or watching episode 261. Cyberpunk, yay, whatever.
Oh, really? No talking about it?
No, because I don't care about it. I would like to go back, actually, to say that a few weeks ago, we talked about the Illustrious Game Awards, in which Kenny had an issue with the name.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's a terrible name.
I will say what's very funny about that is that someone, one of our listeners, was listening to our backlog, and around, I think, episode 3 or 30, it had a 3 in it, Kenny, we were talking about what we would name Game Awards, and Kenny came up with a really good title, The Game Awards.
Did I
suggest that? Exposed, though.
Do you want to know what else?
Our viewers have so much knowledge and so much ammunition to shove us right in our own faces.
They've got 5 years on us. Like, we're going to contradict ourselves.
There's evidence.
They also, someone else on Twitter was listening to Herzog Zwei, that episode.
Yeah.
And I at one point said, hey, you might be listening to this in November of 2020, you know, and I was just going around like that. And it was 2016, I guess, when we put that episode out. And they, I mean, they were off by a week, or like my prescience was off by a week. But
I'm scared.
That was interesting. You should be at the Game Awards, at the Game Awards, the award show that Kenny named. It had game reveals, content reveals, and of course, award presentations. Were there any standouts for you?
How long has this had this name? Are we sure they didn't actually rip me off? Because I might. You just gave me the possibility of a lawsuit.
It's been named this since cavemen, Kenny. It wasn't you.
I don't know. I might have first rights. I might have prima nocta over.
I'm asking, was there anything that stood out to you? Anything that was fun content reveal wise or award wise?
Okay. No, I didn't watch it. I think Last of Us 2 won.
Like everything.
Filled you guys and the community in.
You actually never said you actually never said the name of the game. You said not surprised. And then y'all just talked about something else. You and Kenny. So I guess it was Last of Us 2. Is that right?
Yeah. It won Game of the Year. And like half of the other awards.
So, oh, really? So it just swept. Okay. Yeah, not surprising.
They went really hard.
It was very anticipated. And it's going to be, Cyberpunk's going to do the same thing next year, right? It was just, it's anticipated and this trusted developer. I'm disappointed. I really thought Hades could have won. I was kind of joking when I said that it could early, but like the closer we got to the awards, I was like, a lot of people really love this game, but
it was definitely at a sweet spot in the game's popularity for there to like be buzz about it. And I certainly love the game, so I would have been hyped if it had, but I don't feel like it's just big enough or known enough to compete with something that's like big in AAA.
No. Hades did win Best Indie Game.
Right.
That's
and
cool.
Best Action Game, too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
And hey, Final Fantasy VII Remake won Best RPG. So,
I thought you were going to say Best Remake, and I was like, that's a terrible category.
Oh, Best RPG. Among Us won Best Mobile.
I am kind of sad that an RPG remake won Best RPG. I wish something like original and new and mind-blowing.
Shut up!
That's even better than such a good classic game.
What else got announced?
Final Fantasy.
Oh, so there were some big retro-related reveals and announcements. Which, again, I think they listen to our show.
Okay.
But there is going to be a Ghosts and Goblins remake.
No way.
Why in 2021 when we just did it?
Yeah, I'm pissed. Okay.
So weird. That's big. A new Perfect Dark for, I guess, the first time since N64? I don't
know. Yeah. That one's big.
That one's really big. And then a new Oddworld, like a Abe's Odyssey type thing.
What? Okay, they definitely listen in their fans.
They do. I think they're also doing Wordtress 2 is a big reveal.
They're not. They contacted the president.
We're influencers. I don't know why these people aren't paying us.
So anything for you, Kenny? I know we just talked about Hades.
I was hyped about Hades. I was a little bummed that Animal Crossing didn't get a little bit more love just because it was so big. Like,
it didn't win anything.
Really hype. Everybody played it. And it's unique and different. And so I was hoping they would get a little bit more love too. But I definitely understand where everything landed. Nothing is like wrong about their decisions. So.
Sephiroth is the new Smash character.
So
that's exciting.
Is it sad that I'm at the point where I don't care about new Smash Brother character announcements?
It's sad because of how big of a Smash fan you were.
I don't play it anymore.
It's sad for Dustin because you're not getting hyped over something Final Fantasy VII related.
No, it's really cool. He looks awesome. Like, that was such a smart choice for them to put him in to, like, now you can have Cloud Sephiroth fights. Like, that's amazing.
What's more fun for me is that the Smash community is angry. Like, they're like, we wanted this one, this one, this one, this one, or this one, and you gave us an anime character.
That is not new. They do that.
They're just
crap.
Mad at every reveal.
Dude, every time. Steve
you
from
can't
Minecraft.
Can't actually please any video game community.
True. But except the New Game Plus community.
That's We're true. Always happy.
So yeah, I mean, The Last of Us 2 swept most things, which I played it and it's wonderful, and you should play it because it is wonderful. I do have one final question for Nolan. Would you say that due to all of their wins at the Game Awards that The Last of Us 2 could be considered King Noel?
Pretty good. Buddy, pretty good.
I can our retro game of the week, Landstalker, the treasures of King Null.
Overview.
Landstalker is a 1992 action-adventure video game that was developed by Climax Entertainment and published by Sega. Now, Climax, we don't talk about that enough. Shining Force is a game that we played on this podcast, and that was one of the games that Climax developed. I believe that we even gave Shining Force New Game Plus status, but I don't remember it at all. Do you?
I want to say I probably did because I had some experience with Shining Force 2 in my past.
Okay.
But I don't remember either. That was a long time ago.
They did other games, not tons. I think they have maybe a dozen or two in their records there. And then, have you heard about Sega? Sega is a company that slightly bigger. They've done a few more games, but they developed Landstalker with a team of less than 20. On their Wikipedia page, it says that by 1996 they had 20 people. So this was 1992. They may have had five people that developed this game entirely.
They may not have had anybody work on it.
Yeah,
it could have just been. It might have just developed itself.
Worked on itself. It's a Sega Genesis exclusive. We've played some Sega Genesis exclusives. What's the best Sega Genesis exclusive?
Vector Man.
No.
Comic Zone.
Yes.
Ooh.
With
Sonic.
The rat. Oh, yeah, probably that one, huh?
Yeah, well, definitely that one.
It didn't end up, that went over to GameCube and other things, too. So can you even say it is anymore?
Yes,
I guess the first, games, the first game. Yes,
Guardian Heroes is a fun one for me. Yeah. I know you guys don't like it as much, but.
No, what about Gunstar Heroes?
Also good.
And then Echo the Dolphin?
Definitely, I mean, Echo.
There's some pretty
don't jump. Hot.
So it is action-adventure. Meaning that for the most part, it's fairly straightforward when it comes to action adventures. You traverse an overworld, you maneuver through dungeons, you solve puzzles, you swing your sword actively and defeat enemies. What makes this
And you have game, an adventure.
and you have an adventure, actionly. What makes this game unique is that it is entirely in an isometric view.
Trash.
You're going to dislike this, Nolan, but Kenny in a recent episode talked about how much he dislikes isometric. What?
I dislike, so for clarity, I dislike how difficult isometric can be to traverse. I think it can actually look really, really good. The visuals of isometric, I totally get. Yeah,
tactics.
And, yeah, and the appeal of it, I have nothing wrong with making the decision to do it. It's just, it always feels a little odd.
I can't name you another action-adventure isometric game.
I can. Kenny played one for the Retro Roulette, and it was called Alundra. Did you play Alundra for the Retro Roulette, Kenny?
You don't, possibly.
You don't.
What's a retro roulette?
I have this giant cloud of retro game that they've all just merged together, and it's one giant old game. I sometimes have a hard time differentiating.
Hold on. Let me. What's retro roulette?
Yes. What is that?
At least I remember that.
A while ago on our podcast, we all brought a good game and a bad game, and then we submitted them, and then we did a retro roulette. We spun the barrel and selected. I played a game. Didn't. Yeah, Kenny ended up playing the good game I suggested, which was Alundra. That's, Nolan, when you played Shaq Fu, and that's when I played that terrible, terrible Zelda game that you brought to the table.
This didn't happen.
I mean, you clearly remember playing Shaq Fu, and we all remember Dustin playing Wand of Gamelon.
Shaq Fu's a fighting Wand game, bro.
What? All of that being said, Kenny played Alundra, a game from my childhood that I believe it has an isometric view as well. That being said, there's not many of them, Nolan.
No.
We have played some isometric view games on this podcast. Most recently, we played the wannabe Final Fantasy Tactics game.
The ogre game,
Battle Ogre Tactics.
Battle Ogre, let us all overcome.
Let us do it. We'll have to talk more about this as the episode progresses. But as you're already hearing, isometric is different and has probably a divided audience, because the majority of these older action adventure style games are either kind of 2D flat, or if we are going into more of a 3D environment, it's going to be a top down type of experience. Think maybe some of their early Zelda games, not the earliest, but like Time.
I feel like the isometric
Link to the Past
look totally turned Nolan off to this really early. I feel like your first play is like negative all the way through. Like the first screen pops up, and it starts like introducing characters and storylines, and it's got this like opening animation where it talks through all of the people that made the game, and it's kind of like a nice way of setting up the game. And Nolan's like, "Trash! This is trash.
You can't skip it.
This is hot garbage trash."
To be fair, you couldn't play for a long time.
Yeah,
and it even plays for you. It's not even a cutscene. Right. It's like someone they recorded someone really playing a stage.
It felt like one of those sequences when you don't hit start on a title screen long enough and it'll show you gameplay. I thought that's what that was.
It wasn't. The story here is that you are Nigel, a treasure hunter who meets up with a wood nymph named Friday.
Wood nymph?
Can we clarify that Nigel is not a young man? He's apparently, like in lore, he's apparently supposed to be this old, experienced treasure hunter. But your avatar looks like
he's a baby.
Maybe 13?
Yeah, Nolan Kenny, he is 88 years old.
What do you mean?
Because
they told you that?
Here's the thing, though. I'm wondering, because he does have pointy ears.
He's an elf.
Elves age different.
They have Benjamin Buttons.
Nigel's not an elf name.
Nigel's a bad name. Friday. She's a wood nymph.
Yeah,
and she's on the run because she's being chased because she knows the location of the legendary treasure of King Knoll.
Okay. I know where it is. I'm not telling.
And so Nigel, the 88-year-old treasure hunter, helps her to avoid being captured, and then they go together to find this legendary treasure that she knows kind of where it is about.
I feel like she's trolling so hard.
No, wood nymph.
Hey, don't dab on this show.
Don't.
Everyone,
I will quit this podcast.
Yeah, my face got put on this Nigel character, and everyone in Discord kept making like 2010 memes of me with like text above and below it.
They're good.
No,
Saint
Minister
did a lot of them. Oh yeah, and here's the thing. You could see the cover and think that Nolan's face is on there because it pretty much King, or this isn't King Noel, pretty much Nigel is Nolan. They look the same. They're both.
They do not look the same.
They look identical.
No, let me clarify that they do not look the same. I have to clarify that. I have some opinions about how this character looks that I'm going
to
state on this podcast.
Oh,
okay.
And
so
if I don't state right now that this character looks nothing like Nolan, we might be in trouble relationally.
Looks nothing like Nolan, maybe, but putting his face on there and then memeing it throughout the week was a great idea.
Bad.
So thank you for doing that.
Gameplay.
Okay, look, with the isometric thing, let's just start there because I think I had this problem on the first play immediately, and this is what Kenny's talking about with this style of gameplay. The controlling, not my favorite thing in the world. So you control an action-adventure game like, okay, you control it like any other action-adventure game. You're just moving around. You have free control of your character. You can freely swing your sword. But you're locked into a plane, two planes, X and Y. Yeah, sure. But it's an X. So it's not even straight on left and right. It's like a combination of diagonal inputs that you'll need to put in, or it feels that way. I don't know if that's really
what's
happening.
No, it is that way.
Okay.
What Nolan, what you communicated on that recent episode with an isometric is that instead of like moving around on squares, which
tilted.
Are a lot of video games,
yes.
You're moving around on diamonds. So
on
it's
diamonds,
it's
yes.
It's tilted.
I think it works fine for some genres. A tactics game, for instance, where it's slower paced. An action adventure game, I felt constrained the whole time, dude. I don't like it. I don't
like
it.
We're just hopping right in there.
I'm hopping right into the control scheme because it was like glaring.
I also had a hard time with it. I will say after playing a while, like with any game and any control scheme, I found I started to adjust and it wasn't nearly as obnoxious. I don't think that's uncommon. That doesn't mean that it's a good idea, but it certainly isn't something that should, on its own, completely like derail from someone from playing a game if the game is good enough and interesting enough to play still.
Let me clarify just a little bit. Nolan, you're doing a great job of that, but like one of the weirdest experiences is to boot up a video game, to have your controller in hand, to press up and go left.
Left.
Or what feels like left. Your character does not go north by pressing
right.
up. And by pressing down, your character does not go south on the screen or down. Your up is either up left, holding kind of that both of that direction, or up right, holding that direction. And like you guys are saying, I don't see that as problematic when you're doing a tactics game because you're not moving constantly or fluidly. You're moving one block at a time for the
yeah.
most part. So I feel like it's non-invasive. But in this action adventure game that has a lot of platforming elements in it, it makes it exceptionally more difficult, not in a good way, not in a challenging way, but in a frustrating way because you never really feel like you've mastered how to move around on that isometric
yeah.
play field.
And beyond the moving of your character, when you're isometric, especially isometric with a bunch of depth, where your character is working at different layers of the screen, sure, it looks more 3D because of this isometric view, but when you're doing things like puzzle platforming, and there's areas where you need to jump from one thing to a moving other thing,
yeah,
or line up this thing, or figure out where to fall off the map into a certain place based on where it is on another map, lining that stuff up is weird and harder than it should be in this view.
I think the developers were drunk. And
no,
they were just seeing things tilted.
No.
Like they were seeing like double or things were like tilted and blurry. So they thought they were doing like a top-down traditional Zelda style, and they ended up not.
Their development kit got tilted. At one
their
point.
Computer the screens screen, were actually tilted. And they
it
didn't
a 45
know.
And then they just never fixed
no.
it.
Listen, with this, they're able to do a lot more with the sprites and with the character models and things like that that you can't do from a traditional top-down yeah. video game.
With the environment,
I really do like the visuals that you get from isometric. I do. And I think it looked pretty for the most part, but it just has some downsides on yeah. how easy it is to pick up and play.
Yeah, like I could even be okay with just an action-adventure isometric. Like, it's not my favorite because of the control scheme, but as long as I'm not having to platform, that was the most problematic. You're really having to go from diamond to diamond, and you don't know if it's above you, below you, how far away it is because of the isometric setup. And your brain's just not programmed for that, and I don't think it makes intuitive sense. So for me, isometric is fine, but platforming in an isometric is going to be a no for me.
Weird experiment. Now, I will say I liked their focus on dungeoning. I really enjoy dungeons. So in Zelda,
Zelda boy.
The temples, yeah. The dungeons, my favorite part. I love the puzzles. I love the tones of the dungeons. So I liked that they immediately threw you into a dungeon. It wasn't like super on theme. It was more of like a starter cave looking thing. But you immediately get put into a cave or like a dungeon, and treasure chests are put in your path. I like that. I like that feedback. In the treasure chests are...
Golds?
Is golds.
Golds. I really think they're just changing up the currency so it's not gold because that was taken.
Taken? There's no trademark on that.
You have one gold, and then you have another gold, and then you have another gold, and so all together you have golds.
Yeah.
But you don't have five golds.
Was it translation?
Apparently you do.
Or was it
just... might have been translation. Because they changed... So this started in Japan, and they localized it, changing up a lot of item names and character names, unfortunately, because we get stuck with Nigel instead of Ryle, which I think is a little bit cooler.
Yeah,
we get stuck.
He feels more like a Nigel to me.
He does. Yeah, I know, but like
he does.
Even the villain that's coming after us, isn't her name Kayla? Like, that just takes away any kind of like fear I have of this woman.
Yeah, you picture like a third grade girl selling you Girl Scout cookies, not some kind of enemy.
Apologies to all the Kaylas out there.
Well, I don't. But like a lot of that was changes that came over, so maybe golds became that as well. But it is the traditional, it's a lot like Zelda in this. I don't wanna besmirch Zelda's
name. No, I know
what
you mean.
But you go in a room, doors shut, and you kill the enemies and doors open. And then you're finding chests that have a key in it that unlock a door.
And puzzles, which is also sort of part of that genre, but not like way heavy-handed, but lots of puzzles and a pretty good variety. I felt like I was often having to figure things out and do some unexpected things and actually think a little bit. So I think the puzzling elements of it were actually fairly well done.
Yeah, one of the big like rules of Nigel's movement is that it's kind of like a tile set almost. It can only jump like one high. So a lot of the puzzles were like, oh, you need to get up there really high. So let me stack stuff to get up there. And they show you that in that opening credits thing that I hated so much. So it was almost like, okay, they were somewhat trying to teach you what you're in for. I don't think you had to do that. It was very obvious what you needed to do without that. But that was like, that's one of the like rules to how you get through these puzzles. The keys being another one, like navigating. But I feel like if we're thinking about Zelda, Zelda dungeons are masterfully crafted in a way that you can go about it differently from someone else. And it's you don't get locked out. You can beat it, you know. That's not the case here. I want to make it very clear. These are not masterfully crafted dungeons. Usually the key was fairly linear. They just gave it to you. But the puzzles, the dungeon thing, the dungeon focus, I did like. That's
what
I was saying.
You liked. The part that's not my favorite is the way that the battle system is. And I know that y'all might like it. It's just the real-time action-adventure hack-and-slash really is what it is.
I like the idea of the action-y battles.
Yeah, well, and I don't even prefer, it's not my favorite. I grew up playing the JRPGs that right. started
you
with...
turn-based.
Turn-based, yeah. Moved into active time battle systems. That's what I prefer. But I don't mind this real-time system that's in most of these action-adventure games. But I feel like in these games, it's got to evolve to keep me interested. Meaning either the enemies that you're fighting change up so that you have to get better, or the equipment that you get changes it up. But neither of those are the case in this game.
No.
I mean, and I didn't get all the way through, but I, at one point, my sword became a little glowy lightsaber-looking thing on the screen.
It was a lightsaber.
And then... if you decide not to use it for like 2 minutes in a row, you get right. one extra strong hit. So that's right. changing it up?
No, because your normal hits don't do anything different. So literally every 50 hits, you'll have one a little bit overpowered hit that maybe does two damage instead of one. Like it's not even that. And it takes a long time to get your first sword upgrade.
Yeah,
it takes even longer to get your first armor upgrade. And if they would have done that earlier and given you some kind of reason for them. Now, I never got to, but one of the things that we've loved in some of these retro games is when you have a, when you get an upgrade on a weapon and you get to use that in the world around you. Do you get that here? Because my first weapon upgrade was a fire sword. I never got to burn anything or melt vines or do something to move on.
Not that I'm aware of, unless it happens way later in the game.
That's unfortunate.
And again, the combat doesn't feel like your character. You've got so many options. Sure, some of these would be cliche, but you're an explorer. Give him a pistol. Give him a whip.
A grapple.
Give him a, you know,
machine gun.
A foldable ladder. Yeah, I don't even care. Give him vats of acid that you throw in monsters' faces and then watch them melt.
Sand.
And you're like... or at least it's not a basic sword. Like, the combat is really, really samey. Like, even when you get to harder enemies, it's just, like, slash them more, but in the same way, from the same direction.
What do you mean harder enemies? Like, yes, they do give you a variety of look to the enemy, but every single battle functions the exact same.
Some of them take more hits than others, yes. But that's it.
Yes, like, so this one's harder because you have to hit him 6 times instead of 5. Like, that's not evolution, and I need evolution in the battle system.
Yeah, especially if that's the primary thing that you're doing, and there's a lot of it here. It's not like you're occasionally having to fight an enemy and it's a puzzle game. Like, this is an action game. You're fighting people constantly. It's a core tenet of what this is supposed to be, and if you can't make that fun... everything else is going to suffer for it, even if the rest of the stuff is great.
Okay, your character is a treasure hunter by trade. Do you guys feel like they did a good job making you feel like you were that character? Like, I know it's not like a RPG necessarily, but like, did you feel like the character fit what you were doing? Like, did you feel like you were going on an adventure to find treasure?
Again, combat, no, which is so much a part of what you're actually doing that it was bad. But, and Nigel maybe was a little boring and you sort of just get plopped into the story. Yeah. But once you are, his interactions with people, and even though it's kind of linear, some of these like, hey, do this and then do this and then do this sort of plot devices were sort of fun to me. It was lighthearted. You know, it's not deep kind of stuff. Like, you're just going on this adventure trying to find some treasure. But... you save lives, you rescue people, and I thought that worked for me.
Nigel's a silent protagonist, so it's hard for me to connect to silent protagonists often. And then after you do the first mission, you kind of watch it in Nolan's first play, you get swept away, you don't make a jump, you go down a waterfall, you end up in a village, and then for the next little while, you're not going treasure hunting. You're just helping out communities that you shouldn't care anything about.
Yeah.
So I felt like the story and character development lacked tremendously.
Is a human bear life not a treasure?
The Bernstein Bears.
Golly. It does become the Bernstein Bears.
And the gummy bears.
And the gummy bears and any other bears, like the one that's in the forest that doesn't want you to burn it down.
I was going to be so mad if the chicken running around in the village was going to be a cuckoo and they would all like swarm you if you hit it. Luckily, they did not do that. I would have been.
Did you talk to it? Because it does it.
No,
it's weird what the chicken says.
You can't stand on it, and it moves, and you're just standing on it. Like,
no, you can stand on most things. In fact, in the that starting village, if you stand on a dog or a chicken, and then jump onto one of the bear humans, and then jump onto the statue in the middle, it drops a treasure chest.
Why?
And you get a new livestock. Yeah. So it does weird things like that. Which, by the way, that livestock, one of the things that was nice actually is that you don't permadie very easily, because you get to like collect these items, Phoenix Downs for the most part, that when you die, when you lose your hearts, it revives you right there. So you don't really, that was super nice. So
the wood nymph does like the little fairy thing.
Yeah.
Copy from Zelda.
That is true. Exactly. Copy from Zelda. So all of that being said, I think I don't love the tone. I think it's too light. There's not enough grit for me. You know, you don't have the, it's one of those, man, what, there's other video games that we play like this that people like, but I'm like, man, it's just too light and fluffy and happy and not enough drama. Right here, you're a treasure hunter that's going around la-di-da rather than like end of the world and Bahamut's coming.
There should have been a sex scene.
Nope. On to you, Kenny.
I'm perfectly okay taking a spoonful of marshmallow cream and just eating it. I like light and fluffy. I had no problem with that part of this game. Yes, it's not serious. You're not going to feel like you're saving the world. But it was sort of just a, like, informal, frolicking adventure. And to me, that actually works just fine for the game and what they were going for.
I don't like frolicking adventures when there's a freaking Knights of the Round that needs to be collected so that I can stop Genova from everything. But I will go and breed some chocobos.
Yeah, I was going to say, it gets kind of fluffy at times.
Aged. So I want to start by talking about the graphics, because I've been holding back, but I love these graphics. Okay. I think they look really nice. However,
he doesn't like
hate
his face.
Hate his face. I hate his face so much in game.
Okay. It's a little derpy.
It's just, it looks like it's uninspired. It has no character to it whatsoever. It almost looks like they took a Lego minifig and just like cut out that face and pasted it onto this other body that's like fine and animated and looks like the character. And I don't know what it was about it, but every time I saw his face, I got angry. And that only happens in real life occasionally.
That's a weird complaint. I did not think that about his face, really.
I thought it, but I let it pass me by. But it apparently bothered Kenny the entire time. It
made him
so
mad.
It was one of two things that really bothered me about this game.
Which should offend you, Nolan, because Kenny has said multiple times this episode that the guy looks like you. Yeah.
No, I clearly said that, he Kenny. Did not.
Well, back to the graphics. I agree. I think they put a lot of time into making it very, very detailed. So much so that the rest of the game suffered. Like that's going to be my main argument. It looks really good.
The sprite work is ridiculous. Sure. It looks Sega Genesis. It's got bright popping colors, but it looks like a unique Sega Genesis, and it's probably because of the isometric view for sure. Yeah. But dude, backgrounds, foregrounds.
Yeah, it all looks good. Animations. Enemy models. They did a nice job with how this game looks.
They really did. So the looks have a lot of character. And then I would also say that the music fits the tone of what the game is and isn't bad. Some of them might even make a Sega Genesis chill playlist that we make at some time. Check us out on youtube.com. And it fits the theme. They're not my favorite. Again, I like, whether it's my graphics or my audio or my story, I like there to be more tension and oomph and not just like, we're going on a mission. And that's what this was.
Yeah, you didn't get any of your dark grit, but that's okay. Your sandpaper soul will have to just take it easy this week.
That's the name of my rock band, Sandpaper Soul.
Sorry, I put you on blast.
Hey, forget
it. Here's, in the same way that the graphics looked good, but I hated his face, the music looked good, but I hated some of the sound effects.
You can't say that music.
Wait, did I say it looked good?
What was your favorite part of the visual appeal of the music to you, Kenny?
The colors?
What is it? I was going to say phasmophobia. That's something totally different. There's a thing where you like see colors, and I don't have that.
Superpowers?
Let's not make fun of the fact that I don't know how to speak English. Okay. Let's make fun of the fact that every time you hit one of those stupid bubble things,
they screamed.
Yeah, they screamed, and it was the worst sound effect. I got to where I fought most of the enemies, but I avoided the bubbles as much as I could just because the sound effect bothered me so much. And you're killing a lot of these. It's not like a sound effect you have to get once or twice. You're having to hear it over and over and over again.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Makes no sense. On the same topic of those enemies, you said the animations were pretty good. Those animations for that enemy in particular, trash. Like when you knock them back, it's like they literally just coded it so that it would just like be pushed with no like jiggle or any animation. And then when you kill it, it disappears off the screen and gold appears. It doesn't have like a death animation. It's gone.
That's for every enemy. You popped it.
Yeah, show that animation. Go look at it again. You'll see what I mean. It just disappears off the screen and you're like, okay. And then a gold is there.
He wants the gore of a dead body and blood coming out of it, too.
Animation.
You guys both are just dark. You're just dark people.
And we want the scream to be more like blood-curling and longer.
It didn't need to be a scream at all. It was so obnoxious.
It was, please, I've got a family, sir.
I want them to talk to me.
The scream on the death of the bubbles. Was the scream not on every enemy?
I think it was. They like reused it, definitely, on a couple
maybe
of them.
It was. There was something about the bubbles specifically that drove me crazy. Or maybe I just noticed it on them because I fought them the most. I'm not sure, but I felt like it was unique to them.
They really did try to take what worked in a lot of JRPGs, action adventure games, and try to bring it here. Even those bubble starting enemies, that's kind of like your Dragon Warrior stuff, right, Kenny?
Your slimes. You get sort of slimy, bulbous characters as a starter.
Yeah.
Sort of trope in a lot of games.
And then upgrade these. This game had things going for it. It
had a lot of things going for it.
It did.
It was a weird idea. It was a weird idea. Like they were trying to be creative with this isometric action adventure. And then someone on the team surely was like, oh, this does not work. But they were too deep. They had to make it. And so they finished it. And it's unplayable.
Okay, for you, it's playable. It's for sure playable. In fact, I believe that Clint, one of our listeners, played it and beat it this week.
Liar.
No, he did. And it was successful enough because there was a sequel that was published, not this time by Sega, but by Taito. And
oh, yeah, I know
him. In 1995, this is what the game is called, Lady Stalker.
You're a liar, too.
There are a lot of problems here. One, do they think Land is a boy?
Was Land typo? Was this Lady Stalker 1?
Was it supposed to be Lad Stalker?
Lad Stalker or Man Stalker?
Nymph Stalker.
Mans.
Dude.
Nymph Stalker. But then Lady Stalker, did they not think that through and be like, that might be weird?
They did not. Yeah, the localization team got fired.
There's somebody who went back to play that retro game and was super excited for it and then was really disappointed.
We should cancel
it. Did not
Taito.
Live up to its name. And I don't want to meet that person.
So you are a lady and a Lady Stalker. They designed the game with female gamers in mind. And And so that was a game.
Call it Man Stalker.
It's also isometric, by the way. So y'all would really like it. $20 for Land Stalker if you want the cartridge. $120 brand new. Or you could go to Steam right now and play it for 99 cents.
For real? 99?
99 cents. It's on
Dude,
Steam.
That's so embarrassing. Not even the what? $9.99.
There's lots of games that are cheap.
It's a classic.
Retro games.
Okay, yeah, Among Us is $5. It's a masterpiece.
Listen, Kenny, it's not a masterpiece, first of all. But they did release a new map at the Game Awards. That being said, Kenny, can we be nice to this game in our summary section just to spite Nolan? Because I feel like Nolan has gone a little bit too hard on this.
He hated it before the intro cutscene even ended. He's got weird land stalker poison in his soul.
Do you think he'd prefer Lady Stalker?
I think he certainly would. Sequels are always better, so go play it, Nolan.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It does require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. King Noel, because the game is your namesake, we'll start with you.
The king doth declare this game.
Thing like that.
This game ain't it. I mean, it ain't fun. It ain't impressive.
Why did you become a little bit of a Southern king? What is this?
It's because we told him to play Lady Stalker, and his inner stalker is coming out.
Look, I don't get it. I think an isometric style game needs to stay in its lane, which would be a tactics game or some sort of turn-based strategy game, that camp where there's a lot of pausing and thinking, not something that you're controlling a character actively. Really bad. Maybe this was an experiment, failed. Let's move on. You don't need to play it. Weird Sega exclusive. I feel like there's so many other ones that you could spend your time with, even like games that might even look like this, like RPG games. I don't know them, but they're out there.
Alundra?
Okay, Alundra, apparently, that we did some kind of retro roulette. Okay. do not play this stupid, stupid game, you wood nymphs.
Kenny, what do you think?
So maybe it's nostalgia for the Genesis, but when we get Genesis games, I get super hyped. I feel like there is a certain magic to some of those titles that just feels different and unique that I was looking for, and I didn't get it here. I do think it's a good game, but there were definitely some parts of it that were kind of uninspired. So, long story short, if combat wasn't so repetitive and boring, I think the rest of the game was fun and unique and good enough for me that I'd have been totally convinced. I liked this game. I did not like the combat, and it was enough of the game that was a problem. So, Nolan is being unfair in how bad it is, but I'm also going to say no NGP on this one, just because lots of potential, could have been really good, and was just okay.
Kenny's right. It's not a bad game by any stretch of the imagination. They did so many good things here. I could even get by with the monotonous combat if the story was better. If the characterization was better, if I felt like I was doing something other than not even going after the treasure, that a weird, even the setup, I mean, just the story is not there and it doesn't catch me and intrigue me. And those are some of the things that I like most in my video games. And so I think that isometric is fine, can be fun. The puzzling aspect and the battle system is frustrating, but could have been remedied by a good, compelling story and character, but they didn't have that either. So it's just an okay game that some people will like, but a lot of people won't. It's definitely not a game that you need to play, which means I don't give it my vote, meaning that Landstalker, the Treasures of King Noel, the predecessor of Lady Stalker, is not New Game Plus certified. Which, guys, makes the fourth game in a row of no New Game Plus status. I don't know if we've seen that in a very long time.
Let's make it five. Let's set a record. I'm on a tear.
Let's go for it. Let's end 2020 on theme. Everything be a dumpster fire.
We've had some where three games in a row were not New Game Plus certified. Cell Damage, Michael Jordan, Chaos in the Windy City, and Birthright, the Gorgon's Alliance.
So this is a PB?
The last one.
Which we got wrong.
Flicky Flashback in Oddworld Abe's Odyssey before that, but I'm not seeing one. Okay, our last four in a row was Final Fantasy VIII, Rugrats Totally Angelica, I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream, and Lego Racers.
Totally Angelica.
That's really funny.
Let's see if we can make it five.
Oh, let's not, for the love of God. But we're not randomizing yet because we want to know what our community thought about this game.
Can skip.
Maybe they liked it. El Malaguero said, I must admit, I had a bit of fun this week playing this game. I'd even go so far as to say that I had fun despite this game. There are so many important things that the game fails at. Boring enemies, its killing mechanic, torturous character movement, and not using the six buttons Genesis has to offer.
Right.
We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, right.
Two.
Yep.
Not even
this
three.
This could have been an NES
Jump
game.
Jump and slash.
The story is not boring, and it even has small moments outside the plot that strengthen it, but I couldn't care less about its characters or their history. The decision to use an isometric view in such a game was quite risky, yet I can't decide if solving platforms with this view is unnecessarily complicated or challenging. I must admit that I really enjoyed its fairly dynamic range of music, from snappy tunes to gloomy melodies, although at some point it became a little repetitive. Ultimately, it remains to be pointed out that what we already know. This is a bad and simplified copy, albeit perhaps necessary for Genesis users, of Zelda. Landstalker? More like Link Stalker.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that.
Copying something successful isn't always a terrible thing.
Hey,
like you copy me all the time?
Well, imitation is a form of flattery, as the saying goes.
It's kind of unacceptable to not use at least more than two buttons.
Right. I was immediately like, cool, my controller doesn't do anything. I thought something was wrong.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. It was with them. Brojim said, Landstalker had so much potential. The music wasn't bad, the visuals were passable, and I was glad to get a Genesis title. I kept waiting for it to reach its potential or to evolve in any way whatsoever. Ultimately, it felt like everything the game has to offer is available from the first dungeon. Sure, you get some more armor or a new sword that does double damage once every 15 minutes, but ultimately, every fight boils to attacking something that walks straight towards you and takes 1 to 8 hits to kill. The isometric platforming reminds me of Super Mario RPG, but in that game, it was used as an interlude between the funny story and RPG elements, not a main gameplay mechanic. The game has no charm, no compelling story, and fails to evolve, keeping the same gameplay, combat, and even music throughout. Ultimately, there is no reason for it to be revisited by the modern gamer. What a way to squander a game that seemed to have so much in store. More like Blandstalker.
Why are they doing that?
Ooh, that's the better joke.
Maybe if there would have been a magic system, that would have helped a little bit.
It certainly could have helped.
But nah, that's too much work, right?
A lot of things could have helped, though.
I think a magic system could have worked, could have helped things tremendously.
Yeah.
And you have a wood.
Utilize the wood.
Utilize the wood elf nymph.
Come on.
If you could have used one of your buttons to call on her to do something.
Yeah.
Limit break?
Knights of the Wood Elf.
Garlisle.
Of the Round.
Garlisle. Hey, Kenny, Fairies of the Round, I like that. Garlisle said, I joked early on that I'd heard this game was the isometric of Zelda, but that's probably a bad comparison. With its surprisingly linear structure and lack of different items or interactions for its length, a better comparison would be something like Illusion of Gaia, which is a game I still really enjoy. And yes, Landstalker nails the 90s fantasy anime visual, and its soundtrack at least doesn't hurt my ears like many Genesis games do. But its isometric design doesn't just feel awkward to get used to, but also lacks important details like shadows to help you grasp layouts. Ultimately, the game is fairly fun, but it just keeps coming up short of excellence on almost every front.
Hey, I see a trend here. It's bad.
Yep. We're all right.
Well,
and the game is all right.
Let's hear Clint's thoughts, who did beat the game this week. Here's several facts about Landstalker. Number one, King Null's treasure is real, and you do indeed acquire it at the end of the game. Number two, the combat is extremely bland, but served as a nice change of pace for my recent gaming choices. It's personal. Number three, the story is surprisingly witty and funny all the way through, with developed and unique character and sprite work. Number four, its puzzle platforming rivals many in the genre, Zelda included. Some of the dungeons were extremely fun. Some of the dungeons were extremely fun to explore.
Agreed.
And number five, Nigel is proof that vocal protagonists are more relatable than silent ones.
We knew that.
honestly, I'm not sure that everyone needs to play this one, but the writing is very silly and fun. So if you need a simple game to jam out to, you could do a lot worse than this one. I am giving it my vote for New Game Plus.
Wow, first one.
You could do a lot worse.
Don't.
But you could also do a lot better.
Get Zelda out of your mouth. Like, I don't know why y'all are even saying that. It's not even close.
Thank you for sending in your thoughts on the Retro Game of the Week. You can do that each and every week to ngppodcast@gmail.com or drop it into our commentary channel on our Discord. We'll try our best to include your thoughts as a part of our episodes in the future weeks. We can't possibly include all of them, but thank you again for everyone that wrote in this week and in the weeks to come. But for now, we're putting aside Landstalker. We're going to stop lady stalking, and we are going to randomly select the next Retro Game
yourself.
Of the Week. We are going to be playing a game that came out in the year 2002. It was developed by Chris Sawyer Productions.
Oh, no.
And it was published by Infogrames.
Okay.
It is a construction and management simulation game.
Oh, no.
That is the second in its series.
Oh, no.
Sequels! Now I'm hyped. I don't even know what it is.
For the PC.
Uh-oh.
A PC construction sim?
Oh, no.
And it is all about managing amusement parks.
Oh, no.
That kind of construction. I thought we were literally driving tractors.
We are, for the first time on our Retro Gaming Podcast, going to play Roller Coaster Tycoon 2.
That's cool. That's cool.
This is a game that I played a lot.
Me too.
Combo breaker, probably here. I mean, by reputation, I never played this game, but by reputation, it's one that people love and talk about. And I thought we were going for the big five on misses. So
we'll be interesting to see how this holds up, though.
Yeah, maybe I'll just hate it for no reason.
And some of those old PC games, Dustin may not even be able to install it. He may think that it's Roller Coaster Virus. No,
yeah, Kenny's going to give us viruses, but I think it is available. I believe that it's on Steam. Like its whole package is on Steam. It's probably on GOG as well. So find a copy of Roller Coaster Tycoon 2 and play it along with us this week.
Join us in Discord, ngppodcast.com. Click join us in Discord.
You can also support the ongoing production of this amazing retro podcast, like our newest patrons, Constantinos, Ace of Pain, and Bradley. Thank you guys for hopping on the support bandwagon.
Welcome back, Bradley.
We missed you.
You are joining the likes of some of our very favorite people in the world, including our wonderful director, Garlisle, and our producer-level supporters, Amarlian, Austin, Ben, Brojim, Carrie, David, Dear Baby, Francesca, Corey, Mr. Lattes, Maxima, Shauna, William, and Zion. Thank you guys so much for helping us know that you care about what we do.
You can find us on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. All of those links are in the show notes below or in the show notes on your podcast provider. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Roller Coaster Tycoon 2. Until then, I'm still Dustin the Wood Fairy.
I'm still Kenny with a better face than the other guy.
Nigel here.
You're Australian, bloke?
I am.
And this has been New Game Plus.